Rock Hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. And Tausch, look, I've really tried to dial back on correcting or critiquing you. I want to stay on your good side. I felt like it's not Dean Blandino's fault that we had controversial replays, though, right? He kind of sounded like, you know, it's his fault that Mike is not getting enough holding calls, the Musgrave call. See, what about the interception, fumble, whatever that was, where the ball never actually touched the ground, and yet they still called it incomplete?
Listen, hey, I'm not blaming Dean.
Okay,
I want
just want
to
make
clarify. Dean is the prohibitive guy when it comes to officiating. He knows what's going on.
Right.
I'm not blaming Dean by any stretch. I hope Dean knows that. Okay. I'm not.
And there he is.
Hey, Dean.
The great Blandino.
So, it's great to see you guys. Let me just jump in. We'll jump right in. That when you're at the airport, right, and the flight is delayed, is it the gate agent's fault?
No. Sometimes.
But who takes all the crap?
Yeah.
Right? That's just
Team Blandino.
I'm a gate agent.
Pereira.
Hey, don't crowd the boarding area. If you're in zone 6, get the hell out of the way. Let's go. We got to police. We got to do a better job of people that need extra help to get on the plane. Because I see some of these people, I'm like, you don't need extra help. You're fine. But anyway.
But Dean, isn't the other annoying thing when you're sitting, and I know you're probably up in first class most of the time, but when people want a jimmy jam and get from the back and they act like they got a tight connection, so they sprint to the front, that's the part that, is it rude to just stand up there and say, you ain't going past me? Because that's annoying too.
I will throw out if I see somebody inching, if I'm in row 12, and you're in row 13 or behind me, you're not going before me. I will throw the arm out and I will protect everybody from row 12 on. It's not happening, buddy.
And then you'll be called for holding.
Trust me, we could do a whole thing.
What else annoys you about travel? Dean, you have something else on your mind. What's your other? We'll just go one more. What else annoys you about travel?
I don't know. I sometimes feel like when I travel, I'm around people who it's their first day on earth and they, you know, never seen this. What do? I take my shoe. I get it. Not everybody travels as much, but you know, whatever. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about Packers Bears.
So were you here on? I thought I saw a photo of you and Burkhart and Aaron Andrews.
Well, I was there. What?
You never call, you never write.
I know. We were there. You know, we usually just come in the day before. It's not, you know, Green Bay's not an easy place to get to, so it's a long day of travel, flying through Minneapolis. We actually had a three-hour layover at MSP, and a couple of us flying from LAX, and we had a whole itinerary. We hit a couple of different spots. We had a little bar crawl in MSP.
That's a nice airport.
Yeah. Nice little airport.
Hey, Dean, before we get into Micah's holding and a couple of the other calls, how come we haven't seen you buried in the corner? You know, when Brady and Burkhart are doing it,
you've been kind of caught.
What is going on? Did they move you out of there, or is that not?
No. I'm still in the corner. I think depending on the booth, some booths are bigger than others. They can put that second camera. I think I kind of like the awkward shot of the weird guy in the back.
Yeah, it's fun.
But I guess, you know, they kind of went away from it, but we'll see. Maybe we'll bring it back. But I'm like literally, I'm to Brady's right if you're facing the field, and so you know I can communicate with them pretty easily during the game.
All right, let's start.
My first quick one, and then Jason, go ahead. The interception that wasn't by Evan Williams. The ball never hit the ground, Dean. Did it? Like, what did you see when you were looking at?
That was such a weird ruling. They ruled catch, fumble, recovered by the Bears, which didn't make any sense because obviously the Packers had it. And then they looked at it and say, okay, it wasn't a catch because he didn't have, you know, we dealt with the catch rule and all this stuff, and he didn't make a football move. I think the ball probably did hit the ground, but there was never a real shot that showed that it hit the ground. But since they ruled fumble, you assume that it hit the ground, and that's why they went incomplete. It was just a it was an unusual ruling on the field. I thought you either rule that a catch fumble recovered by the Packers, or you rule it an interception, and that certainly I think would have stood at that point.
Well, and the way that Craig Rolstead announced it, he never actually said that the Packers challenged it either, because it wasn't a fumble of change of possession, which, as we all know, would have been an automatic review. So it wasn't that. And Evan Williams swears the ball never touched the ground and that he had possession. Now, of course, Evan Williams would think that because he would like to have the turnover. But I'm fascinated by the fumble discussion as a whole, because I think back to the playoff game against Philly, and it sure looks like that overhead camera angle shows Keyshawn Nixon recovering that opening fumble, right, on the kickoff?
No question.
And yet they didn't get to keep the ball. So I don't understand how that part of it, like the whole idea and the reason why, not only because we want you to officiate all future weddings in our families, but also the reason we're friends with you is because we're smarter when we talk to you. I don't understand why there are still so many instances where replays get it wrong if the whole point of having a replay is to get it right.
Yeah, you know, look, you're still dealing with judgment. The whole point of replay was to try to create objective standards, right? The ball hit the ground, the foot's on the sideline, the knee is down. And now when you start dealing with catch, no catch, and fumble down by contact, and you're dealing with judgment, was the ball loose? Was it moving? So you're still just replacing one person's judgment, the on-field official, with another person's judgment, whoever's making that decision in replay. Yeah, they have more resources. They have more angles. So it's still – it's never going to be perfect. And we could look at 10 plays and disagree on half of them. It's just that's part of the deal. I think you do want to have a consistent standard. It should jump out. If you're going to change something, then it really should jump out where we could take – you know, the old Mike Holmgren said it, you know, 50 guys in a bar, if they can agree on it, which, you know, is probably it's tough. You got to find a bar. I don't know where you're going to find that bar. But if they can agree on it, then you overturn it. And I think that's kind of the standard that you need to apply.
Yeah, Minneapolis Airport. That's where you find that bar.
Several bars.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Hilo Diner. They have breakfast all day. Full bar.
Nice. You would have definitely found 50 guys in a bar that agreed that Jerry Rice fumbled in that 1998 playoff game in San Francisco, which led to the return of replay.
Yeah, that's a throwback that Jason loves.
Yeah. Speaking of throwbacks, back when Old T played, which we know was a long, long time ago, there were times where it depended on the level of quality matchup and broadcast to decide how many cameras you had to work with. And I felt a little throwback, old school, on the Luke Musgrave incompletion where the only angle I saw had some guy's head in the foreground from the sideline. What
that
the hell's
really
going
close.
On
Look,
out here?
I It's another one. You're absolutely right. Again, does it jump out? I think on that one angle, you can make a case that the ball might have been loose, hit the ground. I'm still, again, if that's not the Fox A game of the week, you know, do we even have that camera? Probably not. And I think that is, I think the theory is, okay, the two teams playing the game, they're playing under the same set of circumstances. But then you get other, you know, maybe it's a division, you know, the Lions are playing the Vikings and they don't have as many cameras. So that's just part of the deal. But yeah, that was one where probably if it's not a game of the week or primetime game, probably don't have that angle.
All right, Dean. So Packer fans are irritated that Micah Parsons, I think there have been three holding calls. Nobody can block him, right? Everybody's got a chip and it's very difficult for anybody. Can you kind of go through, because I would always ask the officials when they'd come in during training camp, what are you looking for? And the best thing that I've heard from any ref ever say is, if your feet aren't beat, we're not going to call a hold. That was kind of the deal. If you keep your feet in front, really, you know, the rip move that Mike has got, I don't mind when they don't call holding on that. What do you see in it? Do Packer fans have a viable complaint that he doesn't draw? Because he's not one of these guys that flails his arms up, whips his head back, and sells it. And refs do look at that too, right?
No question. And I think, look, this goes back to when he played at Dallas, and there was a stretch maybe 2 years ago. There was something that this, he hasn't had a hold in 17 games in a row, whatever it is. But that's absolutely right. What the officials – and this whole thing you could call holding on any play, every play. No, you can't. There is – you know better than me, right? As part of blocking, you grab, right? You grab cloth. Yes. But – if your feet aren't beat, if you stay square and you keep your feet in front of the defender and you keep moving and stay square, you're good. That's exactly what that official told you is absolutely right. It's now when that defender gets beyond and gets outside your frame, and now you're stretched and you see that kind of the two jerseys, the colors separate. Now, if you don't let him go, now there's the restriction. It's, you know, and then we take into consideration, is that the point of attack? Is it, does it have an effect on the play? So all those things go into holding. And like you said, the rip move, if the defender rips and that forces your arm as the offensive lineman up there, and that's just part of the deal, it's not a hold unless you then take them down, take their feet, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So look, Mike, does Micah get held more than is getting called? Absolutely. Is he so good? And I think this may be harder. You know, he can beat through, he can work through those holds, so it doesn't look as much in terms of restriction, maybe. But there's a lot that goes into holding. I think it'll kind of balance out. A player that is that good is going over time is going to get those holding calls. He's going to get his sacks. He's going to get his pressures. But yeah, I know it's frustrating sometimes when you see something like, man, that's holding, and we don't see the flag.
Talking with Dean Blandino on Wilde and Tausch. Dean, I am curious, and I'm not saying that we should turn this into the NBA where I saw, was it Isaiah Hartenstein, who there's a rebound and the guy swings his arm like 2 feet over his head and then he pretends to fall down like he's been hit in the face. I'm not suggesting that. But is there something to Tausch's theory that you got to sell the bluff? You got to sell the holding call. And you just said it. Like, I think Micah Parsons is like, blank you, I still can get through you and get to the quarterback even if you do hold me. But I think back to Za'Darius Smith. Tausch mentioned him earlier in the week. He should have gotten a daytime Emmy for some of his acting jobs on holding calls. Is there value for a pass rusher to do that?
I would say no. I think officials, we always taught officials, we always look like that reaction. You're not officiating that. Just officiate the action that you see in front of you. You're looking for restriction. And a lot of times it can go the other way. When a player, we always told when we would meet with teams and talk to defensive players, you know, fight through that, because if you throw your hands up and give up on the play, right, then the official isn't going to see that as restriction. You're giving up. So fight through that. The restriction will present itself, and then you'll get the call. So I think I think players get reputations when they do that, you know, when they do that over time, and then you kind of become immune to it. So from an officiating perspective, it probably over time doesn't help. Could you get a call? Sure. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say it hasn't happened. Sure, you could get a call. You'll see sometimes when that happens, but I would say over time, that's probably not a great, just continue to fight through it. And, you know, and the officials should see it more often than not.
Dean, do you think that there's going to be a point where it's going to be reviewed, the roughing the passer? Because I think we saw the pass interference. That's a debacle. You can't review that. I don't want where you're reviewing holding calls or whatnot, but the blows to the head, some of these that aren't judgments, do you envision where the league is going to get involved in that, or how do you think that shakes itself out?
Yeah, I do, and I think that's where you start. I think they're doing some of that now, where with defenseless players, if there's contact to the head and neck, if that's the call, then replay. If there's absolutely no contact, they're trying to keep it very objective. They can assist and pick up that flag. It doesn't happen very often, but I do think that's where you start. If you want to get involved in replay with some of these more subjective calls, you start with player safety, roughing the passer, hits on defenseless players, those types of things, face masks, and then you can go from there. But I agree, you know, you can't, you know, to review holding, to review, we saw what happened with pass interference. It's just, it is very subjective. And if you don't have a consistent standard, which that's what happened back in 2019, they just never could apply a consistent standard. It's going to be a debacle. And that was, you know, that was out 1 year done. And I haven't seen a change like that, not even get voted on the following year. That's how bad it was.
Dean, last thing before we let you go, I'm fascinated and supportive of, however you want to view it, expedited review, sky judge is what Tausch likes to call it. I just think that this has been really smart by the league, even though I feel like there was not a whole lot of discussion. It just certainly kind of appeared. I'm curious, is there the mechanism in place to do it quickly enough, or can you not do what you do in college where you stop the play as it's about to be snapped? Because there are instances where I see coaches have to burn challenges that it kind of feels like they shouldn't have to. Like, it feels fairly obvious, and I find myself wondering, well, why didn't get involved already, and why did LaFleur have to throw that challenge? Like, am I off base wondering that?
No. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And I agree. I love the expedited review. That's when we canvass fans and we talk to fans. Remember, we did a study in 2016 at the league office about what fans liked about the game and didn't like. And it was game flow. It was unnecessary stoppages. It was, you know, the constant stop and start, which we know football has some of that already baked in. And so the expedited review is great. I think they're trying to help and prevent some challenges. And again, I think we see some situations where you don't want to go too fast, because they had a play Sunday night where a replay came in and assisted and they were actually wrong. And then the Chiefs challenged and it was a whole big, big mess. So you don't want to go too fast, but you certainly want to step in and prevent a coach from having to challenge when it's obvious. And I think that's the key. If it jumps out, ruling on the field is a catch, ball skips in, it's clear. Okay, radio down. Incomplete pass, coach doesn't have to throw the flag, and the game keeps moving. So I think they're working on it. It's a work in progress, and I think we're going to see more of that.
All right,
Dean, you are the judge. You help us get all of our judgments done. And Jesse, on Sunday, during the Packers-Bears game,
oh boy,
he had his mommy and his daddy over to the house, and okay. He had a conundrum that I think was ridiculous. Jesse, will you tell Dean what time you ordered the pizza, and if Dean would agree that you totally mismanaged how you approached your pizza pickup?
Hi, Dean. My mom insisted that we order the pizza at halftime because she wanted hot pizza. She wasn't going to be hungry at 3:25, so we had to wait till halftime to order the pizza. I called it in because the Bears went on a long drive before the two-minute warning, so I called it in at the two-minute warning. They said 15 minutes. It was like 8 minutes from my house. I said, perfect. So I went over there. It was not ready in 15 minutes. It took more like 45 or 50 minutes before it was actually ready. By the time I got back, there was like 20 seconds left in the third quarter. I missed the entire third quarter. I was very irritated with everyone involved. And
I take
zero responsibility for it. I think it was everyone else's fault for why I missed the third quarter of the game.
I love your mom. She's amazing. I don't even know her, but I love her, right? I, it's just ordering pizza at halftime is just, it's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. It's a little, right? The pizza, I feel like you want the pizza to show up for kickoff, right? Now we got, and then you can, you know, oh, and then we have the pizza all game, order a little more than what you think. Now we could have some cold pizza in the second half. We can, you know, throw some in the microwave after the game, you know. So maybe when you called, you weren't firm enough with the pizza place to say, hey, I can't, you're telling me 15 minutes. This is really important. Maybe it's your fault. I don't know.
I'm glad you came around at the end there. I was very concerned about your answer.
I thought he was Team Jesse.
I
for
felt
too
good
long
about
there.
That for a minute, but now he's wanting me to drop a, hey, do you know who I am
look,
to the pizza
the
place?
The place is 8 minutes away, and, you know, yeah, so mom's like, okay, halftime, we've got the second half. I'm down, I'm in with it. Maybe you should have thought ahead and said, okay, mom, we're gonna order some food before the game, and then we'll order the pizza.
That's what I wanted to do, and she declined it. She expedited review. She said, no, we're ordering it at halftime.
Well, clearly, NFL replays, that pizzeria can't get their stuff together and can't get it done. And we're sitting here waiting when the ball hit the ground, and everybody sees it.
Should have expedited it.
Expedite review.
Dean, I'm glad that you've been able to spend time with two of the greatest members of the 2000 NFL draft class, Tom Brady earlier in the week, and now Mark Tauscher. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate
it. Very blessed.
What round were you, Tausch? What round did you? I'm going to tell.
24 picks after Tom Brady. 24
oh, you were
picks
after Brady. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So very let him know. He's always welcome if you two want to, you know, kind of come on at the same time.
Better value on the Tausch pick. Yeah.
Similar careers. I'll talk to him.
I don't know about that.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
See you guys.
That is the great Dean Blandino. We're always smarter when we get
talking. He went on Team Jesse there a little bit more than I thought. I would think Dean being, you know, worrying about clock management and everything else, you can't make that call 6 minutes into this with only 6 minutes left. That was an arrogance by Jesse. And I think Dean was a little too nice with him there. But he was getting after Jesse's mom.
I think our
he was after Jesse's mom.
You know, us officials have to stand together. And Dean and I, a couple of officiating greats. So.
I thought the best point he made. I thought the best point he made was the fact that when they said 15 minutes for a pizza during a Packers game, the follow-up question, as an expert follow-up question person, should have been, are you sure 15 minutes?
You sure about that?
That would have been a key follow-up that could have changed the course of the entire story. Am I wrong?
Don't you then worry that they potentially could spit in your pizza if you're going to be like that?
They also thought my name was Jeffrey, so I don't know how well that phone call was going to begin with.
Joffrey with a G. Thanks again to Dean Blandino. We should have kept him on long enough to ask him which number caller we should take for our Iron Jock contest.
Oh, I'm nervous about this. I get Jesse. I'm going to think as I'm talking. Jesse, I'll let you think about telling me what number. I have an idea on what number I'm thinking. And if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or you just want to upgrade your own gear, you need to check out the holiday sales going on right now at Iron Jock. You know I'm a big believer in their performance apparel. It's tough. It's comfortable. And thanks to their exclusive silver ion technology, it fights odor, which if you're a hockey parent, oh, baby, is that good. Appreciate all of it. Through the holiday season right now, you'll find those great deals across the entire lineup. Hoodies, tees, shorts, and more. Don't wait. Stock up for the holidays and save big at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Gear that works as hard as you do right now is your chance to win. And Jesse dropped mine off. Beautiful Iron Jock tumbler. It is gorgeous. And caller, because Jesse dropped it off, and because at the Badger women's basketball game, 6-7 was in play, I'm going caller 67. I'm going to be nice to Jesse today. Caller 67.
That's more than yesterday.
It's what?
That's more than yesterday. Yesterday we did 65.
I think we doubled 65 and added 75. But all right, you want to go more?
No. 6-7 is good. 6-7 is good.
All right, caller 6-7 wins an Iron Jock tumbler. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776.
Caller 6-7 wins their Iron Jock Tumblr, 844-770-3776. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Thanks again to Dean Blandino. You can go to the ESPN Wisconsin app or Spotify to catch up on that. If you missed him or missed a portion of him. Jesse, do we have a winner of the Iron Jock Tumbler?
We do. This is fun. Congratulations to Mike in Eau Claire, who will soon be celebrating his 67th birthday.
No!
And he was caller 6-7 to win our Iron Jock Tumbler. special event there for Mike. Congratulations.
That's
to him.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Almost as much as I love Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yeah, we all love Pella Windows and Doors. Hey, was that royalty free? That last Silent
Night song?
It was,
yeah. It's in our little database here, yeah.
Well, isn't that something? Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued to keep finding out more and more about royalty free music, and you should be more and more intrigued about saving money over the holidays and ensuring your home remains comfortable during this brutal post-holiday winter. You know what? Listening to royalty free Silent Night, looking out your beautiful, clear, new Pella windows, all that heat staying in your house, all that snow hitting the windows staying out. How awesome would that be? Pella makes everybody's holiday brighter and clearer through those beautiful new windows. And even better, you pay zero interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Pella's elves, they install year-round. They don't take days off. They finish installation in as little as a day. Hurry up. Deal ends December 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
You're really starting to get it down, Jesse. Good work. Christmas music, without it being the traditional songs, crushing it. Let's see if you can do that with Whoa Nelly, too.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Thursday night football tonight, the Atlanta Falcons visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in an NFC South tilt. Not the most compelling Thursday night football game of all time. However, we thought Tampa Bay was going to cakewalk to winning the NFC South, but now Carolina is right there with them. Who do you believe will win the NFC South with 4 games to go? The Carolina Panthers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tausch?
What's the origin of a cakewalk? You know, they do those cakewalks at fundraisers where you bring cakes and it's like you go around the chairs and you end up getting a cake. Like, what is the origin of that? That's
I will look into that. That's a question for another day. I think it's a question for Tampa's, exactly right now, actually. I'll look into it while you answer this question.
Tampa is going to end up winning the NFC South, right? That's the division they're in?
That is correct.
I think they'll be the one that ends up. I think I trust Baker more than I trust the young fella Young down in Carolina.
So I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the woke stuff that has gone on in recent years. Nevertheless, this feels a little cringy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a cakewalk was a dance developed for performed by slaves on plantation grounds. Huh. I would have never imagined that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So we're going to need a new...
I don't think we should...
So what do we want to call something besides a cakewalk?
How about Easy Street?
Afternoon stroll?
What's the chair deal? What's that without cakes? What's that called?
The chair deal without cakes?
Yeah, or... Yeah, you end up with the last chair.
Musical chairs.
That's nothing. That has nothing to do with a easy sprint to the finish line.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
You could walk to the finish line like in a marathon. Like you take a walk to the finish line.
We definitely learned something.
We are not walking to the finish line.
No idea. Yeah.
It's good to learn stuff. All right, we learned something, and that's maybe we did. Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
Why'd you have to ask that? Now we.
Well, you brought it up.
I asked you who's going to win the NFC South, and you said.
No, you said cakewalk.
You had to ask.
You said
what's the origin? I thought it'd be something fun,
in
like
fairness,
desserts, and you know.
In fairness to both of you, raise your
funfetti
hand.
Funfetti cake is the best. If you're going to win, if you're at. Just let's just say you're at a potluck dinner or you're doing this stuff as a fundraiser and you just buy cakes. I'm going funfetti with the funfetti frosting. That's the kind of cake I want.
Are there
next?
Okay.
Whoa, Nelly!
Might be a good time for a little whoa, Nelly.
I just wanted to ask. I've heard of cookie walks, where you walk around and at a bake sale and get cookies. Is there a modern day version of that with cake? Like, can I walk around and get different types of cake?
Whoa, Nelly!
The cookie walk we've done, you go around to like local businesses around the holidays and see what they have to sell. And then they give you free cookies when you go into each establishment. You walk out with like an entire lunch pail full of cookies.
I love cookies.
Those are fun.
Next! Whoa, Nelly!
All right, moving on. No, we need to have an opinion on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
They are not only on to the NBA Cup, where I hope they are. It appears they're on a collision course with Bane for the NBA Cup championship.
Of course.
It would appear. Oklahoma City is 24-1, the best start for any NBA team since the 73-win Golden State Warriors, which was almost a decade ago now, which is wild to think about.
That is wild.
Oklahoma, I feel like they've gone completely under the radar, other than everyone saying, yeah, they're pretty good. They're loaded. They're good. Golden State was like every
they're
game.
They're the defending champs.
Golden State was in the finals when they had their big year. They got Durant. Every game was like nationally televised. Oh, my God, they're so revolutionary.
They were look undefeated. At they were also undefeated for a big
well,
chunk of
eventually
that.
They weren't, but 24-1.
Yeah, the Bucks beat them, and they had T-shirts made, and the Warriors are irritated about
it. And it
that.
Propelled us into the golden age of Bucks basketball. Yeah, understood.
That ended 2 years ago, yeah.
24-1 is significant, and I feel like we, at least as a show, should have an opinion on whether we are in favor of or against Oklahoma City pursuing some NBA history this season.
No, go for it. I'd love to see him go. I'd like to see him go 81-1, and then the Bucks beat him in the championship. How's that?
Sounds
not
good.
Banking on that. But yeah. No, if they want to go 81-1, I'm fine with that. I think it's good for the NBA if they're rolling like that. We saw when Golden State did that, they didn't even win a chip.
So, that's true.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to get the same treatment that the Milwaukee Bucks got, but I think even less, because SGA isn't the star that Giannis is, even though SGA is a great player. People don't seem to care. Like, they're really good. They fleeced the Clippers with that Paul George trade, and now it's going to end up looking bigger than the Herschel Walker trade. Because Oklahoma City might win 4 or 5 championships because of that trade. And that would be the big story out of that. It's not going to be Oklahoma City humming along. This is a juggernaut that's built. And by the way, they got all kinds of picks yet. All kinds of picks. So if I'm Milwaukee, I'm thinking, maybe if I'm going to trade Giannis, maybe that's a place I look. And if I'm Oklahoma City, I'm probably looking like, I don't know, man. We got a pretty good little thing going down. Yeah. Up in here.
up in here.
I'm sorry.
Come
about
on.
The,
have an opinion on Oklahoma City, Jason. Any opinion on the Oklahoma City
he's
Thunder?
He's too busy to check Spotify. He don't have time.
I'm giving
to
you everything
Oklahoma
you need
City.
To know. 24-1, loaded, dynasty, won the finals last year. Just what's one take on Oklahoma City?
No. Instead, I'm going to give you this take. According to sources close to the program, John Kerry, Sendix, proud partner of Wilde and Tausch, has a cookie walk in their stores this weekend. I may have to get down there. That is more interesting to me. A good cookie walk, much more interesting to me than the Oklahoma City Thunder. Next!
Whoa, Nelly!
Fun fact, I'm going to be down at Sendix in Oconomowoc.
I know. Can you check and see if the cookie walk starts on Friday?
I think it's Friday and Saturday. I believe there's... Yeah, we can take a look. I'll make sure I get you.
You'll be there.
Digi only.
Yeah, get us some cookies.
Digi only.
Can we put in an order from you while you're there tomorrow?
Sure.
Will we get it?
Whoa, Nelly!
Jesse will get it. I'm not certain I'll be able to get it.
Hey, you come drop something off for me for a change. Yeah.
Along with your hats and a CRT television.
Whoa, Nelly!
Tonight is the ESPN Madison holiday party. Will both of you be there?
I will unfortunately not be able to make
it. Oh, that's too bad. Jason?
Outside chance. Oh, very outside.
Okay. Well, we'll see if you can make it down. We're going axe throwing. What do you think would be at Madison Axe? Great partner of ESPN Ooh. Madison. What do you think would be the best activity to do for a holiday party as a office?
Obviously, axe throwing.
Axe throwing is a great one, I think. Are there any others that come to mind for a holiday party? Any office, anywhere that you think would be
fitting? I like the when you get like a ring toss and you have different prizes out there and you can take stuff home.
I think it's nice, instead of doing like a carnival.
No, instead of doing like a white elephant where you're sitting there and everybody's trading boxes back.
Put a ping pong ball in the goldfish bowl.
Like the church Memorial Day weekend festival.
Literally,
if I may, you put a bottle of Tito's out. You put some different wines and things that people like. Understanding what your office is about. If your office doesn't like to drink, you could do something else. But then you're playing a game and it's kind of fun. And, oh, I'm going for this. And you're playing... It's got a carnival feel to it, but you're taking something home that you're shooting for. I think it's fun.
All right. Can I just ask you a question? So you played in the NFL for 11 years. You've been in the media as an analyst. How many office parties have you gone to given your life experience? And how
More
many
than
of them
you have.
Ring
More
toss?
Than you have. How's that?
There it is.
More than you have.
11:48, we're good.
Okay. We still got more time for a couple more games of ring toss.
Ring toss. Where do you get
All right, Wildy, you've never held a job where you've been to a holiday party. Oh, tell me what you want at your blanket holiday party.
Don't get mad. I just think that you're
mad.
That
you're kind of casting judgment. But whatever, you tell me.
Have you attended an actual office party where they played ring toss with Tito's and wine bottles?
But I've been to fundraisers that have done that. Yes.
Do you not office parties? So are you trying to get the ring around the bottle that you're going to take home, or are they like empty bottles?
No, Jesse,
you
want to get it around something you don't want to take home.
Don't you come after me.
I ain't coming after you. What kind of idiotic question is that? No,
I'm
Jesse.
I'm not coming after you.
I don't like scotch, but I'm going to ring toss. I'm going to go try to throw it around a bottle of scotch. Yeah,
no.
that's how you'd play ring toss, Jesse.
Hey.
What world do you live in?
Go to a carnival, bro. Sometimes
hey, I'm shooting pool. I want to make the eight ball at the end? No.
It's
just
not
throw
the
it out.
Same
no,
at
no,
all.
Put it in right away.
No, you throw
what
it.
What do you care?
At the carnival, they have the game where it's like there's yellow bottles and green bottles and blue bottles. And if you get it on any of them, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to do to get a ring around a bottle, you landed on one accidentally. Great, now I get that one. So you don't want to be at the company office party playing ring toss and you're aiming for the Tito's and you end up taking home a can of mustard or something because it goes on the wrong thing, but that's what it landed on, so that's what you get.
That's ring toss. But I'm not aiming for the can of mustard. I'm aiming for the bottle of Tito's. Doesn't mean that's what I'm going to get.
And
Do you aim for what you want or no? What... I don't know if I've ever heard a dumber question on the show than that. And that's not to be mean, but...
There's
something I really don't want, and I'm going
to
fire it over at that bottle because that's what I hope I ring around. Like, what kind of question is that?
Find out tonight at Madison Axe, where they'll be throwing axes at bottles of Tito's, and you take home the one you
really
break.
Really like for Tausch to come to that party now, throw some axes.
You better axe somebody. More about Tito's and how much Tausch loves it when he's playing ring toss.
This is where you tell us about Tito's. Tausch.
Tito's Handmade Vodka. You want to win in ring toss? Get yourself a bottle of Tito's. It'll go great with everything that you're wanting. Ginger ale, cranberry, whatever it might be. It's always better with Tito's in your ring toss and in your glass. And not only do they make great drinks, they also partner with a lot of nonprofits and do a lot of good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly. You two are something else, man.
Ring toss.
I love Jason asked the question. I ask him one back. He acts like he's swilling down at 100 different office parties. Never been to it. I never even had an office.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
How many state journal Christmas parties did you go to?
I think I went to two or three of Paula's when
she was
at a bank.
I'm going to take the under. I'll take the under.
None of my own.
But I went to ones with Paula and her bank for sure. Mercifully, we will wrap things up next.
Thank God.
With a quick game of ring toss. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
From the ESPN Madison YouTube comments, I will protect his identity. For what it's worth, Tausch never made it to the 565 analytics office Christmas parties either.
We had an office? I didn't know that.
Nicely done. All right, we will get you ready for Packers-Broncos tomorrow. Did we hit enough? We got to enough football today. No one can legitimately complain. Right?
I think we hit on it. Obviously, tomorrow we'll get into more nuts and bolts, but the Josh Jacobs injury and, you know, not practicing and where that's going to leave this team. And then, you know, obviously we named a bunch of different running backs and wide receivers, which I thought was fun.
We aimed for a lot of Packers talk, but I don't know if our rings landed on all the right bottles today. But
we got Dean Blandino to get into the holding penalties and why Micah's, I thought, was very good.
I did too. But
yeah, we probably left a little bit of meat on the bone. I'd say that we probably did.
We'll see you at Madison Axe tonight. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.